Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Team Toby Positive Radio Show with your host, Charmaine Hammond. Join us each week as Charmaine and her Team Toby Pack improve lives by teaching kindness, acceptance, and respect. Our mission is to get listeners into the conversation about living a fulfilled, prosperous life through the unique and powerful animal-human bond. Be part of the team and lead the way of change. Find us on the web, Facebook, and YouTube at The Original Team Toby and on Twitter at Team Toby 2. Here's your host, Charmaine Hammond.
Well, good morning, good morning. Here we are with Positive Radio. It's Charmaine Hammond here, your host, and I hope you're having a fantastic rest of 2014 wherever you are listening from. We have a great guest today. Amy has been reinventing herself for years. She's a certified animal behavioral consultant. She's also the award-winning author of, get this, not one, not five, not 10, but 30, that's right, 30 best-selling pet books that cover furry babies to old fogies, first aid to natural healing, and behavioral training to chicken soup-icity. She has created puppiesabout.com site as the puppy expert, and she was also the cat behavior expert at catsabout.com. She's been featured as an expert in hundreds of print venues, including New York Times, Reader's Digest, and the list goes on. We're going to have a great conversation about pet-proofing your home. Holidays are around the corner, and now is the time to pet-proof your home.
Hi there, it's Charmaine Hammond with another episode of Positive Radio, and I'm looking forward to today. We're talking with Amy, of course, about how to pet-proof your home, and when this press release came across my desk, I was really excited because I had never thought about pet-proofing your home. I don't have kids, so I've never had to kid-proof my home or child-proof my home. And I know we've done a few things around the house just when Toby was a puppy to make sure that everything was safe, but I'm so looking forward to what Amy's got to tell us about how to pet-proof your home. And I imagine, Amy, or welcome to the show first. Let me welcome you.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Me too. And, you know, the holidays are right around the corner, so I imagine this is the time that we really want to start thinking about pet-proofing our home.
Right. Well, really, any time you bring a new pet into the home, especially the puppies and the kittens that explore their world with their teeth, basically, and cats with their little paws get poked into everywhere. But holidays are a special time of year because you have all kinds of new hazards for the fur kids in your house, and it's, you know, it's exciting for them because, oh my gosh, Mom brought in a tree. I get to water the tree, or I get to play, you know, climb the branches of the Christmas tree, or I get to paw past the candles that are out there, or oh my goodness, mistletoe. I bet that's good to eat. You know, and then you end up with a trip to the veterinarian trying to save the baby's life.
Yes.
So there are a lot of things that you have to look at and really kind of put yourself in your pet's little paws to figure out what's a potential danger, what might attract your puppy or your kitty or even your adult dog or cat.
Right.
And then try to make those areas safe. So I generally recommend people invest in knee pads and walk around on all fours and just get a pet's eye view of your office, of your home, of the kitchen, of, you know, wherever they may be allowed to go. And at Christmas time, oh, those blinking lights. And
yes,
we know how dogs love to chew things. Chewing through an electrical cord at any time of year is awful, but they chew through the cords on a Christmas tree. It can start a fire, not to mention injure the pet. Cats aren't so much into chewing, but they are into climbing or into paw patting things. If you have a live tree, our pets are going to want to get in underneath the tree, maybe drink from that little water reservoir, did you put aspirin in it to preserve the tree? That's not a good thing on the inside of a dog or a cat either.
Right.
So you have to think about a lot of those types of issues, and I always say you don't want to just prevent, you know, potential problems. You don't want to just prevent those illegal targets. You need to give them something better. Give them a better legal option so that, you know, if they're getting in under the tree to drink that water, give them a legal option like a water fountain that's going to be healthy for them.
Right.
You know, if they're trying to chew on the tree and play with the tree, well, give them a better option. Give them, you know, fun treats that are going to be healthy for them, that are going to give them a legal outlet for playing and for munching and, you know, having a jungle gym. Maybe a cat tree that the cat can climb up instead of the swinging from the top of the Christmas tree. Otherwise, you're going to have Catmas ornaments all over your tree.
Yeah, well, I love your suggestion, Amy, about going around the house on all fours, and I couldn't help but think, what a great family exercise to do that if you've got kids, so that they learn about responsible, loving, safe pet care by doing these kind of activities. And what a great lesson for children to learn about the importance of safety for our pets, especially at the holidays where there's all kinds of things out on tables and, you know, the trees, all the things that we don't normally have throughout the year. And I know, I remember the first dog my husband and I ever had in our family, Dukes. He was a white shepherd, and he was such a curious, curious dog. And he was amazing, really well-trained dog. And then we brought the big Christmas tree, and we were so proud of this 10-foot tree. And we had just put all the pictures or the gifts under there, and I thought, let's get a family picture. And, of course, no sooner had I brought Dukes over to the tree, he showered the gifts by marking them all. And I thought, so I had and that, you know, I started thinking, well, this was not a well-planned-out activity by the pet mom.
Well, and that's what's going to happen. I mean, when you think about it, the dog goes outside and he scent marks against the trees that are outside. So you bring one inside, he's thinking, oh, wow, what a wonderful gift for me. You know, I can mark my territory in the house and tell everybody that everything here belongs to me. You know, so you're going to want to try to figure out a way to keep the pets at bay, away from the tree, the formal tree, if you don't want them doing that. I'm fortunate. My 17-year-old cat, Saren, has never bothered the tree, and my German Shepherd is quite good about it also. But I have a new kitten in the house, Kamikaze cat, that we're going to have to take some extra steps. And so baby gates are your friend.
Oh,
you know, if you need to, you can cordon off the area that has the Christmas tree and the presents and all of that and keep them safe away from your pet. And as I said, set up a room that is holiday safe for your pets with like I said, maybe the fountain. And there's this really cool fountain that I just discovered. It's called Nature Spa UV Fountain that actually sterilizes the water. It's a really cool thing. My cats are really loving. So you can use, you know, set something up with that, with, you know, treats for the cat, for the dog. You can make a homemade puzzle toy for your dogs.
Wow.
Which, you know, there's a lot of commercial ones out there, but I love doing stuff at home that's, you know, I call them cheap thrills because the cats and the dogs don't care how much you pay for them. And they usually like the empty box better anyway. So you can get like an empty water bottle and take the lid off and put dry treats down inside of that for the dog, and he can see it, he can roll it around and get the treats out. If he's a little bit on the pudgy side, get something like the canine fat-free treats that aren't going to upset his digestion. And for kitties, you can get one of those Tupperware things or even an empty tissues box, you know, that doesn't have any of the tissue still in it. Cats love to fish for things. So put treats down inside of that, and that'll keep them engaged away from the tree. You know, something like kitty caviar, which is another household favorite here, that the cats are going to love, and it's going to keep them engaged and reward them for doing something you want them to do. I love also getting the, you know, cats like to get up on high surfaces, so if you have a cat tree that is taller than the tree,
mm-hmm.
usually he's going to ignore the tree in favor of that high space for the cat to sit on. And then, you know, the same with dogs. Give him his own doggy Christmas tree. You know, and put little bone toys in the tree or something, so that it's with no lights on it, so that it's not going to be a danger for him. So, you know, there's no reason that pets can't celebrate the howl-a-days also, and just get all of the plants that are potentially dangerous, the mistletoe, the holly, all of those things, get those out of reach, out of the house. Use fake ones. If you want to decorate, I recommend using fake ones, because eating some of this stuff, it's really very, very dangerous for pets. They get into the chocolate or the truffles,
absolutely.
You're going to end up with, you know, a smelly house with vomiting and diarrhea, which is nobody's fun idea of a holiday. And then you're going to have to, you know, get rid of the smell and clean the carpet before the guests come over. So there's all kinds of things to think about. Just give them something legal and then praise them. You know, praise them when they do something right. My newest cat, one of his favorite games now, I call it sledding. He wants to be dragged around. I drag like an Afghan throw around on the carpet, and he runs and jumps on it and wants to be towed all around the house. It's hilarious. And that's easy to do. That's something you can do with the kids, too. You can say, okay, whose turn is it to play sled cat with the cat or with the dog? You know, and make it a part of the holiday festivities that, hey, this time of year, this is what we do with our pets to keep them safe and to show, you know, the kids one day they can be in charge of filling up the water fountain, and the next day somebody else can be in charge of filling up the dog's treat toy.
Yes, absolutely. I love how you're talking about getting the family involved. And, folks, we're talking to Amy today about pet-proofing your home, and any time of the year it's important that we give consideration to what are some of the hazards in our home and what are some of the items that may not be safe for our pets that we need to either remove or put out of reach or even put away for our pets. But at Christmas time, the holiday season, all kinds of new things come out, trees, lights, mistletoe, and as Amy is saying, some of these are very, very dangerous for our pets. So we've got to, I love her suggestion, get on all fours and walk around that house, see what your pet sees, and then start to make it a practice of removing items that are dangerous. Educate yourself on some of the foods that are not healthy for pets, that are actually fatal for some pets, like chocolate and grapes. And those are the items that we often have around our house at the holiday season. And Amy, is it important for us to let our friends and family members who are coming over kind of know the rules of the house for our pets? Because sometimes people who don't have pets love to sneak a pet a treat, and they may be sneaking a pet something that's not healthy for them.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great point there, because, you know, if you don't have pets, you don't understand that maybe nuts can be very toxic. Certain kinds of nuts can be a problem for pets. Turkey bones, you know, and making sure that the garbage is out of range of the pets, because, you know, all of the gravy that's flavored on that string that you trussed up the turkey with, boy, that smells and tastes so good, and on the inside of a pet, it can be deadly.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's not just those kinds of dangers. It's having strangers come into the house that elevate the stress level in our pets. And when the stress level goes up, then, you know, pets are a little bit more cranky. You may have their, you know, the biggest health risk for pets these days is stress. And it can mean that they have hidden issues. It doesn't, even if the cat maintains litter box allegiance, they may have a stress issue going on that promotes a hidden health issue, like, you know, lower urinary tract disease is a really good example of that. And it's a hidden issue that, you know, cats may miss a litter box or develop a urinary tract infection. Dogs, same way. You know, they can, when they're more stressed, they're more inclined to find something to chew to relieve that stress, and they could be targeting, you know, the electrical cords again.
Yeah.
So there's ways that you can try to alleviate that. Warn people when they come in and say, you know, this, my pets love you, or maybe my pets don't like strangers. And so this back room is the pet safe place, and when they go in there, they want to be alone. So
yes.
Respect that. And or my pet is on a special diet. He can only, you know, if you want to treat him, give him the fat-free treats, the canine fat-free treats. Oh, and incidentally, all of these are products that I love and I personally endorse are on the pethealthystore.com. I love this place because I get to pick the products that I want to promote. So people can check that out if they'd like at pethealthystore.com. But, you know, you need to make sure that the guests that are coming into the house understand that you aren't being a meanie, you aren't being a Grinch about this. But you're protecting the furry members of your family, and you're also protecting them because nobody wants to, you know, give a family member they're visiting, you know, grandma's house, and they don't want to get her Persian cat upset so
Absolutely.
That, you know, then grandma has an upset cat and has to deal with all of that down the road. So if you make that clear before the people come into the house, the guests come into the house, you're going to have a much more happy and celebratory holiday season.
Well, I got to say, I love your tips, Amy. This is I'm forming a little checklist in my head as we speak right now of all the things, because we're doing our decorating this weekend, so you're going to be in my mind. I'm going to say, what would Amy say about this? And I'm actually going to do a blog about this. I think what you're talking about, Amy, is so important.
Oh, wonderful.
And I want to be able to help you share this message. So please give our listeners your website again.
Yes, you can go to the pethealthystore.com and has a lot of the products I've talked about there. And my personal site is shojai.com, where you can find out more about the different books that are available. But those also are at pethealthystore.com as well. And one final note, I know you mentioned about me having breakables out, and that happened to me one year. If you have a favorite game you play with your dog, for instance, my dog is a fetching fool. And one year he was playing fetch in-house and ended up the ball he was playing with ricocheted off. He didn't catch it correctly, and it broke a family heirloom. So be very careful of those types of things. It's not always just dangerous to the pets, but it's dangerous to your family heirlooms and the things that really matter to you.
Right.
And so, you know, take steps to keep the pets safe with good products that are healthy for them and preventing issues that might happen down the road. And then protect yourself, because you don't want to remember the time that Fluffy broke a family heirloom. That
right.
just, you know, puts a damper on the whole thing.
It sure does. And I just love what you're talking about us humans thinking about what we do in our home and the impact on our home and our pets, and such an important life lesson in general. Amy, I've so enjoyed the conversation with you. We'll make sure that we put your web links in the blog so people can go on over and follow you, because, my gosh, you have so many books. I can't even list them all here, but we will make sure we put a directory, a bookshelf of Amy's books up on our blog, because, folks, there's some awesome, awesome reading material that Amy has written that I know will really help you and your family create the safest, happiest, healthiest place, a home for your pets. Thank you, Amy, for being on the show.
Thank you so much. And now go pet your pets for me.
Thanks a bunch, Amy.
So just like Amy was talking about the importance of pet-proofing your home, which I agree is so, so essential, not only at the holidays, but any time throughout the year, just important to keep that topic top of mind. But you know, it's also important to safety proof our home and our offices for the people that work there. So I came up with 5 tips that I think are essential, and again, taught to me by a dog, and I'm going to actually spin off of a couple ideas that Amy talked about when she was talking about pet proofing your home. So the first one that I came up with is to review your policies and procedures. You would be surprised, maybe even amazed, how many companies I go into as a professional speaker and a consultant to help them build healthy teams and deal with leadership issues. And many of them have great policies in the area of safety and wellness, and they're so outdated. Or They have great policies that nobody knows or nobody refers to. Your policy and procedure manual is critical because that's like your guidebook. It directs the staff, the employees, how to deal with specific issues. So if they're outdated, we're giving the wrong direction to employees. That could be a fatality in a workplace. So I always suggest have a safety committee. Have them look up your policies and procedures several times a year and make sure that they're current, that they accurately reflect what's going on, and make sure that staff know them. You've got to communicate them, you've got to clarify them, and you need to do drills. Just like in the old days of going to school, you need to do safety drills. The importance of doing safety drills is that just like practicing a fire drill when we were in school, we practice and practice so when the real situation comes about, hopefully it never does, but if it does, we've practiced it so many times it becomes natural for us. It's part of our skill set. A couple other things you can do related to safety policies and procedures is make sure they're current, clear, and communicated. And the other part is to follow up on what Amy said. Amy suggested when you're pet-proofing your home, you walk around on all fours and look for hazards and potential dangerous situations. Well, you know, we can do something similar in our workplace. We can actually walk around on all twos and look for potential hazards. Look for things that could cause an injury, a slip, and a fall, and move them. Often what we notice is that there's broken equipment or hazards sitting around, but they've now become second nature to us. We walk past them and we actually don't see them because they've been there so long. So when you intentionally walk around the room with a checklist and a notepad, you actually will see things that you may have walked by for months, perhaps even years. Now, what else can we do to safety-proof our offices and businesses? We can actually get people to report near misses. This is important. When I do safety training, I'm not a safety consultant, but what I do is I help people create a safe work environment. And we do that by making sure that staff are resilient, that the team relationships are healthy and effective, and that we remove any of the hazards and frustrations that exist in this workplace so that people can operate at their optimal safety level 100% of the time. So one of the things that we can do is get people to report near misses. A near miss is an accident that almost happened or an injury that almost happened. So, for example, slips and falls. It's winter time. Somebody slipped on the back step coming out of the office to the parking lot. We want to get people to report that because it helps us follow up so we can make sure immediately that someone goes out and shovels or that the salt is laid down or that we talk to our landlord and let him know that this was not being tended to. The near misses are as important to write down as the actual incidents. And in fact, the near misses can be life-saving because it allows us to deal with a safety issue before it ever happens again. So we've got the reviewing policies and procedures. We've got the get people to report near misses. The other thing we can do is that we can deal with issues and safety complaints immediately. These are a priority. When people bring a concern to you as a leader or as a human resource expert or as a business owner, we want to take it seriously and deal with it immediately. And we want to document everything. The fourth tip is about building wellness and resilience. The healthier the team, the less safety incidents that will happen. Healthy teams are focused. They're present. They're not accident prone. When we have teams that are dysfunctional or really struggling, what happens is the stress and the drama gets in the way and people become clumsy. They're tired, so they're not focused. Or they're paying attention to the conflict and to the drama and not to the safety. So making sure that our teams are healthy and resilient at all times is essential. And then tip number 5 is deal with issues that get in the way of safety in a more passive way. So what I mean by these passive issues is conflict. Unresolved conflict can get in the way of safety. Because people become so entrenched in the emotion of what's going on, or often they're off work they actually take stress leave or sick leave. So we're working at less than full capacity with our employees, which can lead to safety issues. So deal with things like conflict, unresolved conflict. Deal with things like team issues. If the team is not communicating clearly, or if there's some tension happening in the team. Broken equipment. Actually, broken equipment leads to frustration. I remember years ago doing a workplace wellness program and training program for a company, and one of the videos that we showed was a gentleman who had become so frustrated at the photocopier that was broken, and he had complained about it, and nobody ever fixed it. And he became so frustrated with this photocopier one day. It was like all the issues built up, and he became violent in the workplace. And violence in the workplace is a safety issue. It's a reality. We're seeing it more and more. And violence is not just about physical aggression towards people or property. It's also about things like setting each other up or sabotaging people's efforts to be successful. It's about subtle threats, racial slurs, sexual or gender discrimination. So all of these things, if we don't deal with them, can lead to a lot of disrespect in the workplace, which can really impact people's safety and emotional well-being. So the more present we are as leaders, the more proactive we are, and the more professional we are in terms of how we approach issues, we will create a safer place. I know that for sure. Well, the holidays are almost here. I sure hope that you're having a great rest of 2014. And we really want to thank you here at Team Toby for listening and sharing the shows. Please share them with people that you know will be interested in them. And we actually have workplaces who listen to our shows as a little bit of team training. They're not just for pet lovers and pet families. These are for people in general because we talk about pet issues and people issues. I want to give another shout out to Amy for the great conversation on pet-proofing your home. What she talked about is so important, and I believe it will save lives and it will create a much happier, healthier, safer holiday season for everybody. As we wind down the show, I want to let you know we're launching Paws Across North America. We are going big next year. 2015, September, we launched Paws Across North America. We have some really exciting partners that are coming on board, and there is room for more. We have lots of opportunities to go visit schools on our tour routes. So if you're listening and you would like us to go to your school or your child's school, please get in touch with us at theoriginalteamtoby.com. Share your comments, share your thoughts about kindness and bully prevention. That's what our mission is all about, creating a kinder planet, one paw, one person at a time. Thanks for listening to the show, and until next time, be kind to one another.